that we find in Matthew and Luke became so much stronger in significance to my own heart this week in prayer and study. Because there's something that I recognize as a pastor in America. Really, there's more prosperity. It's amazing, the prosperity that our nation, the surge of prosperity that's come even in the last year. Really, I'm serious. And if you have financial dealings, you know what I'm talking about. That there has been a surge of hope in the realm of finances. And obviously, investors and business people are taking a cue there that better things are yet to come. But coming back to a pastor's heart, there's one thing that I cry out for. I believe in financial prosperity. Believe me, I do. For myself as well as for the church. And the kindness of that birthday offering. And every response that you've ever given last Sunday is appreciated more than we could ever express, because it enables us to be stronger and better givers. And I'm telling you, I'm just about to shout when I realize this has been, and it looks totally impossible on paper, but this has been our strongest, for Joy and I, our strongest year in giving. Strongest year in giving. And God has just done some wonderful things and helped us over and over again in the church, and helped us personally. For 53 years, we have lived, the majority of our lives, we have lived to see this church go forward. That's a few. That's a few. I'm not trying to establish a Guinness record that, but I'm constantly alert to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, no exit yet for you. So there's a lot yet to do. But there's one thing that must happen in America. I'm all for financial prosperity. I'm all for things being good. And you know, I was just in a car wash yesterday. I hadn't been running it through a quick wash kind of a thing because I'd just been busy. But as I sat there and looked, I thought, you know, I've never seen so many nice-looking cars rolling through a car wash, trucks and cars. You look on the road. I mean, nice vehicles. Not everyone is that blessed, but I see more than I remember seeing in a long time. In fact, so many are being produced that they're reducing the price on some of them, and some very strong advertising. More people are driving better, living better, and whether it's a cafeteria or a restaurant, I go to the last three or four times I've been to the cafeteria, my plate looked like a piker compared to the ones that were on either side of me. I don't know how they could eat all that. My Lord, you know, when all you can eat, you know, is kind of interesting. But anyway, but some of you are preaching ahead of me this morning. My heart is crying out. It's time for a spiritual feast. It's time for a recharging. I'm hungry for a stronger fire of God in my heart. I'm hungry to see the miracle working power of God in our life and in our church. And you've got to remember that with, I heard someone there say, well, you know, you kind of gets to be old hat. You hear so many of these Christmas songs. Well, just calm down. You won't have to put up with that the rest of the year. Thank God they still sing our songs if it's only at Christmas. And the good ones are very good. Joy to the world. The world needs joy. We believe in joy in this house. Amen. We've had some mighty movings of God, and we're always open to the joy of the Lord. Thank God for the wonderful songs of angelic activity. I believe in angelic activity. A personal friend of mine was Pastor Roland Buck in Boise, Idaho, years ago. And his secretary was with us here with her husband in the very beginning days on Berry Street. And there were angelic appearances, and I think we still have a book in, we have some books there in the bookstore. But it was nothing short of miraculous. Joanne called me, she said, Pastor, she said, you've taught us the supernatural. We just came in from a denominational church and said, you've taught us faith and taught us the supernatural. And said, she told me what they had just experienced, visitations of angels. I believe we're going to be, you don't worship angels. You don't worship angels. You don't follow angels in that respect. You follow Jesus. But there will be more angelic activity. You can call it UFO, you can call it whatever you want to. But you know, God's not in layaway. And his angels are not on retirement. They haven't taken early retirement. Amen. But I said all that to say this. It really impacted my spirit when I realized all the songs we sing, the Christmas story, the wonderful account here from Matthew and from Luke. But remember this, preceding this was 400 years of silence. Now let your thoughts, your mind spin here just for a moment. You see, through the Old Testament, Israel, they would cry out to God. Cry out to God, God would move and God would give them a good king and bless them financially and defeat their enemies and fight their battles and just do all kind of miraculous things. All these wonderful stories you read in the Word of God. And then when things got good, they forgot God. And they forgot church. And they forgot the prophets of God. Even put some of the prophets of God in prison. And when things got good, they forgot who made things good. Let me tell you something. Every good thing in your life, you thank God every day things are as good as they are. Thank God that things are as good as they are. Who made things good in your life? Well, I know your faith cooperates with that. But God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I mean, when things are tough, when things are difficult, we're still the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Still the most blessed people on the face of the earth. So they would forget God. And God, because he loved them, would re-remind them. And they would go into captivity or they would lose battles. Things would go against them. Because everything works, everything minus God equals nothing. You can have the best job in the world and be just a disaster personally and lose everything you've got. Some of the most miserable people in the world are people that are extremely, extremely wealthy, but wealthy without spiritual wealth. I'll tell you, if you're not wealthy spiritually, you're in a world of hurt no matter how much money you have. But think of 400 years, no churches, no revivals, no active. God's always had a people. He's always had his underground people. He's always had his underground prophets. God always has somebody around if you look. God has somebody around. God has a people. God has a promise. And God has a plan. God's never caught without people, a promise, and a plan. And the Bible said that So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It may take a while for it to come to pass, but God's word will come to pass. God's payday is not always 1st and 15th, but God pays. God blesses. God helps. Lord, we've been through so many close scrapes and tight times and impossible times, but God's never failed us. We used to sing the chorus, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. But remember, preceding the Christmas story, the songs we've heard, gifts hopefully depicting and reminding us of the gifts that God gives to us. We've been so blessed with gifts from God. Your breathing is a gift from God. I saw someone the other day in a wheelchair apparatus, and their breathing was very limited, and they had all kind of things. I said, oh, I was a little frustrated that day for some reason. I said, God, forgive me. Clean my clock, you know. Thank God I can breathe. Amen. Thank God I can go basically where I want to go or where I feel like I need to go. What a blessing. But think of it. 400 years, no radio gospel, no television gospel, no media, any kind of scripture or inspirational thought for the day. No open churches. No revivals. Hadn't been a revival in 4 years. 400 years. Think about it. I mean, as crazy as things are today, there are pockets of God moving. And there's a lot of people that basically believe God, and they're waiting for the troubling of the water. But the thing that I want to say to us today is, listen, listen. Remember Mark, the 4th chapter. Hearken, hearken, listen. Proverbs says it over and over again. Listen, 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 listen. God wants us to hear the word. The most important word in your life is the word of God. Not the word of the television, not the word of the newscaster, not the word of a politician. The most important word in your life is the word of God. Most important word. There is no word that is more important than God's word, because God's word is the final word about everything. God's word is the final word about everything. As I looked at the Christmas story and as I looked at this, can you imagine 400 years of silence? And all of a sudden, Gabriel appears. All of a sudden, a star that supersedes all stars that have ever shone began to shine. And even in dreams, like with Joseph, there was supernatural revelation that came through their dreams. Sounds to me like God's back in town. Sounds to me he's always been in business, but it sounds to me like God's getting ready for something big. God's getting ready to show out. To show off, to show an unbelieving dark world. God tried and tried and tried to talk to them. They wouldn't listen. You ever tried to help somebody that won't listen to a thing you say? It's frustrating. And the only reason you keep trying is because you care. Then you finally come to the conclusion there's some people you can't help until they're ready for help. You can't make people receive help. I mean, How dumb can you be and still breathe? I don't see how some people live every day. Just running the red lights of God's word just like they're not even there. So God spoke and God spoke and God spoke. They didn't listen. So now 400 years of silence. 400 years is a long time. Few people make it to 100 nowadays, but 400 years, really there was nothing going on except among the underground hungry, who were hungry seekers of God. But oh, thank God a star began to shine. Thank God angels began to sing. Thank God Gabriel began to appear. And thank God there were dreams that were prompted by the Spirit of God. And guess what? Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. Jesus, the birth of Jesus, broke 400 years of silence. Oh, God, help me to get... This is so simple. This is so simple. If you won't listen, watch it. You'll come to a time you... He won't talk. God does get tired of talking to those who will not listen. As a teenager, I spent 2 years doing my own thing. It's the grace of God that that automobile accident that I was involved in didn't take my life. It has hit me lately. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be alive. I shouldn't have preached. I shouldn't have been able to do whatever God has led us to do. For 2 years, I wasn't mad at God. I just didn't know what to do with me. I had not discovered how to live victoriously. I hadn't discovered that God said what he meant and meant what he said. And while there is a negative side to the gospel, you better, some people call it negative. You know, it's amazing. Two-thirds of the New Testament is telling us things we ought to do or should do or can do. Not to be born again, but to have more heaven on earth on your way to heaven. And so help me, I'm still waiting for someone to get that revelation. I'm not hearing it taught. God said, get back on it, son. So I'm going to get back on it. But there's so much of the Bible that's not heaven or hell. It's you create your own heaven or hell by, you know, when you obey God, things go well. They go better. Amen. God said to Saul, it's hard to kick against bricks. It's kind of rough driving the wrong side of the freeway. You have head-on collisions all the time. And I'll never forget, I was under deep conviction. God was dealing with me. The call of the ministry was on my life. I was between my junior and senior year in high school. Something had to give. Something had to give. Thank God for that night. Thank God for that night, under deep conviction. God awakened my mother and said, your son's life is in jeopardy. Pray. She went to her prayer room and cried out to God. When I called her about 3:15 that morning and said, the car we were driving is demolished. She said, but you're all right. I said, well, thank God, yes. She said, son, it's time you stop running. You've got to say yes to God. And I'm going to tell you, there is no substitute like getting desperate with God. There is no substitute. You say, now come on, Bob Nichols, you just drop the plow sometime a little too deep. I don't think I do. Because nothing has ever happened in this ministry, nothing's ever happened with me until I really got more serious with God than I was. There are higher heights and deeper depths. And you can kind of sing along and go along, float along, go when it's convenient, and give if it's possible. You know, you can just kind of flop around like a fish. And your life will be full of give and take. But when he said, when you seek me with all of your heart, he said, I will be found of you. When you seek me with all of your heart. Now, that's not a legalistic thing. That's just putting God first. Just putting God first. What did the Lord say? Don't leave Jerusalem without the Holy Ghost. Don't go anywhere. American Express picked up on that somewhere down the line. Don't leave home without your card. Well, he said, don't leave Jerusalem without receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And there are still people that tell me, sweet people, good people, there's some people around here. Well, I'm just not called to witness to anybody. You better get your mouth open. You got a family that needs God. You have relatives that need God. If they're saved, you have a neighborhood that needs God. Amen. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just preaching. Is that all right? But you know, even after I knelt beside that crumbled piece of wreckage, that Mercury automobile, that's when they had real metal in them. Right above my head, it looked like a helmet above my head. No seatbelts at that time in cars. And right above my head, I was driving. It's just like God prepared a place for my head. And I got out and knelt beside that car. And I said, God, you've got me. I don't know how I can live for you. It seemed like I haven't been doing I've done a rotten job of trying to live for God. But God, you've got me. By the grace of God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll preach if that's what you want me to do. And 90 days later, I preached my first sermon. But in the meantime, I had not listened to God for almost 2 years. Not listened to God in any way seriously. Oh, you'd have a little scurry of emotions every once in a while. But no changes, no changes, just no changes. My heart was hard. You know, you can get... Your heart can become hard and you're not even really aware of it. You just blow things off. You shine things off. You know, what seems to move everybody else, you're filing your nails or playing with your phone or doing something, you know. But, you know, we got to get a little more serious with God. Got to get a little more serious with God. And even though I wanted to, the want to was in my heart, I just couldn't get a breakthrough. I couldn't get a breakthrough. It's just like in a service, everybody got touched but me. And I was in, from that moment forward, I'm back in church and I'm giving it everything I've given myself as best I know how. But I'll never forget. I can show you the location. It was the old Bethel Temple Church on Vickery and Riverside Drive. I don't even know. I believe it's a Christian church now. One Sunday morning, the Spirit of God moved. I was just visiting that Sunday morning. And I remember I was in the altar. And I'll tell you, God broke that thing. God broke that hardness of heart. God broke. I must have wept for 2 hours. The janitors were hungry that day. Everybody was gone from the altar but me. And I'll never forget, I wept until I think I'd have another tear in me. And God touched, and the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it's been pedal to the metal ever since then. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I've gone a total different direction of what I thought. I haven't even started to do what I thought I would do here this morning. The bottom line is this. We all need God. We have Him. Of His fullness have we all received. But there's a cooperation with that fullness that releases the greater outpouring of God's Spirit in your life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave Himself for me. The challenge that I want to leave with us on this Christmas Eve Sunday morning. You know, sometimes you hear people on the radio, well, do as I did. You know, buy a car where I bought a car. Or buy this. You do what I did. Well, this morning I'm going to say, I challenge you to do what I'm doing. Praise God. Let's enter this new year hungry for God, reaching out to God. Amen. You can have thousands of people and no one really too very serious about God. But I tell you what, God's kept this church, God's kept this place for 53 years. God has pulled us through a knothole backwards. My Lord, I tell you, God, if there's ever a church that has experienced the miracle working power of God, or a ministry that has experienced the miracle working power of God, it is Calvary Cathedral International. But you know what? The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Get up just a little bit earlier. Spend just a little more time in His presence. And you know, even with finances, we've had some financial challenges here. We have the past few weeks. We really have. But in the midst of it all, I just said, in the name of Jesus, I'm not backing off. I'm not backing off. No way. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to back up, let up, or shut up until I go up. Hallelujah. It's time to put the pedal to the metal. It's time to let go and let God have His wonderful way. Whew. I haven't even scratched what I thought I'd do this morning. I believe the message that God put in my heart, I thought it would just be a starting thought this 400 years. God spoke and God spoke and God spoke. And God said, please listen to me. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. And they just thumbed their nose at God. So God said, okay, 400 years of silence. 400 years. No great revivals, no churches, no pastors, no fivefold ministry. For 400 years, just things going on. But all of a sudden, and I believe that suddenly, hallelujah. Oh, I believe in my heart of hearts, I've got that wind of suddenly in me. I've got that fire of suddenly. I've got that river of suddenly. You know, God seems so slow to move, but when He moves, does He move? Hallelujah. I said, when He moves, does He move? You say, well, I need my marriage changed. I need my money changed. I need my job changed. First change you need is you. Your thinking, your attitude, you're reaching out to God. Because He said, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. If I got started on what I had here, we'd miss our lunch. Which, if that's what God wanted, would be all right. But the challenge I want to leave with us today, and I feel like I'm on track with what God wanted. You know, it's time It's time for freshness from God. It's time for a fresh hunger for God. This nation, a few years ago, there was more peace between relations, more peace between races than I'd experienced in my lifetime. Today, this nation is in a world of hurt. And the only thing that's going to heal it is the love of God and the power of God in all of us and in the body of Christ. Politics can't do it. Money can't do it. I mean, things are not only better financially, they're getting better. And I'm not a great guru financially, though God gives me breakthroughs and understandings at the right time. But it looks like we're headed for things being better. Looks like we're headed for things getting better. But you see, we've got to also at the same time spiritually prosper. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Because there's no prosperity like soul prosperity. Hallelujah. I said there's no prosperity like soul prosperity. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. I said it's time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you hungry? Hallelujah. Do you want to be hungry? Do you want to reach out to God? It's time to seek God. It's time to seek God. It's time to get up a little bit earlier. It's time to read a little bit more. It's time to speak the word. It's time to turn off the fake news and get the good news from heaven. God is moving by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Joel's children are waking up again. Ezekiel's boneyard is coming together again. 400 years of silence is about to be broken. And I want to be right in the middle of it. Oh, let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go. Would you stand with us? And let God.